We are concluding our short series this morning on matters of the heart. This series has been about those qualities every Christian should have and needs to have in our lives. We addressed having a pure heart, and we looked at treasures of the heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Today we're going to explore a servant's heart. To begin with, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Why is it important to have such a heart as this that we've been talking about for the last several weeks? Well, as we saw last week, it's because the condition of the heart determines who we are. Remember Proverbs 4:23? Commit that verse to memory. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. It would also do us well to memorize Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Store up good things in your heart. As we said, today we'll be looking at a servant's heart, which Jesus said, by the way, should be our overall goal if we want to be great in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 20, pick up with me at verse 26. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Now, catch the rest of this, and you'll see this several times through these passages of Scripture we'll look at. Just as the Son of Man. Jesus was not a do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. Jesus was very much a do as I do. He set the example. He did these things and expects us to do them just like He did. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. As we explore this whole idea of having a servant's heart, Jesus says we need to look at Him, how He came to serve instead of to be served. And this concept of Jesus the Messiah coming as a servant isn't just a New Testament thing that we learn about Him because of the life He lived. The whole idea of the Messiah coming as a servant is found in the Old Testament as well. In Isaiah chapter 42, we read this prophecy about Jesus. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Again, in Isaiah chapter 52, it is prophesied of Jesus. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Now, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. There is, perhaps, no better place to see the idea of a servant's heart than what Paul says to the Philippian church about the servant heart of Jesus. Philippians 2:5. In your relationships with one another, with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Remember now, not like what Jesus taught or what Jesus said, but the same as Jesus had. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing. And He did that by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I'm sure there are many more, But from this passage, I see four things we need to consider this morning about having a servant's heart. Number one, a servant's heart will cost you. And the desired result of that is to have a humble heart. A servant's heart is a humble heart. Being in very nature, Paul wrote, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. That phrase, made himself nothing, literally means to pour oneself out. Jesus emptied himself of who he truly was. Who was he? God. Being by very nature, God. He emptied himself. He poured out all that was God. And took on the role of a servant. But that's what a servant does. He or she relinquishes their rights in order to serve their master. And in this instance, Jesus relinquished his rights and position as God in order to serve his heavenly Father by serving others. Cost him quite a bit, didn't it? We see this literally played out when Jesus picked up a bowl of water and a towel and washed his disciples' feet at that last Passover meal. It doesn't get any more humbling than that. Jesus chose to take the lowest position in the household and served his disciples as the slave of the house. And then he told them what? Do you remember? Go and do likewise. That is, go and serve others with a servant's heart. He said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. He was a do as I do kind of guy. Just before our text we read there in Philippians 2, Paul says in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Don't do it for yourself. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. You got to know that the leaders of Jesus' day, including the religious leaders, sadly, even in our own day, they didn't and they don't have humble hearts. Would you agree with that? They viewed themselves as better than everyone else, arrogant, self-righteous, above the law. The Pharisees loved to flaunt their religion. Luke records Jesus' description and warning about them in Luke chapter 20. He says, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes, and they love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. Hi, Rabbi. Hi, Reverend Johnson. You know, they want all the titles. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. And then he says this, they devour widows' houses. No mercy on you. Sorry about your luck. And he says, for show, make lengthy prayers. They look down on others, saying such things as, oh, thank you, God, for not letting me be like all these other people. Isn't that what Jesus said about the Pharisee and the publican, or the tax collector? In Luke 18, they both entered the temple together. The Pharisee told God how faithful he was and how thankful he was to not be anything like the others, especially that publican back there in the back. Humility isn't denying who God made us to be. It's just being honest about our weaknesses and acknowledging God's strengths. Humility is getting the focus off of ourselves and putting it on the needs of others. And that is part of having a servant's heart. The Apostle Peter said, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." Now remember that. We'll come to it in a minute. We can be humble and still go forward with the knowledge that we are doing a good work for God. We can have the confidence that what we are doing is making a difference in the lives of others. But to have a servant's heart, it will cost you. But the desiring object there is to have a humble heart. Secondly, a servant's heart goes against everything we've been taught. And the desired result is an obedient heart. Humility and obedience. Looking to the needs of others. Counting others more important than yourselves. You just don't see that taught much anymore today, do you? When we get the focus off ourselves and start putting it on the Lord and on serving others, we begin to walk a walk of obedience. Someone with a servant's heart obeys God, not out of convenience, but out of conviction. That kind of conviction takes courage. Because trust me, you will be different than most of your coworkers and your classmates and your teammates. But we need to be a people of extraordinary courage if we're going to stand on God's Word, if we're going to pray to our God and then listen because we believe He speaks to us through His Word, through those around us, sometimes in a still small whisper through His Holy Spirit, and sometimes through thunderous trials and pain. If we're going to live like that, some people may think you're mentally ill. Living with a servant's heart is hard for our world to understand, perhaps more so today than ever before. To them, it's dog-eat-dog. Look out for number one. They buy the bigger and better. They drive the newest and the best. They don't try to keep up with the Joneses. They try to be the Joneses. Reputation and character mean little in our world. It's all about money and image and public opinion. Living with a servant's heart is quite different. And yes, sometimes it's hard. It's difficult. It's even scary. But that's okay. It's okay to be afraid. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's moving forward and doing what is right in spite of our fears. John Wayne stated it quite simply when he said, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." So saddle up, partners, and let's live for Jesus. So we need to be clear about God's calling. See, we go into all the world not because it's convenient or easy or cheap, but because He said, "Go." That's obedience. We preach and teach the truths of God's Word in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not. Not because it's easy or popular, not because it's what everybody else is doing, but because He said, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." It's obedience. We baptize repentant believers, not because it's convenient or embarrassing, but because He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's obedience. We support and serve others, not because nobody else will do it, but because after watching His disciples' feet, He said, "Go and do likewise." It's obedience. And in a lot of ways, that goes against everything we've been taught. But that too is a part of having a servant's heart. Thirdly, a servant's heart conflicts with our self-centeredness and personal desires. And the desired result is a sacrificial heart. Verse 8 of our first main text was, "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus humbled Himself by becoming obedient to God, even to the point of dying on the cross. And through His obedience, salvation came to you and me. Jesus sacrificed it all when He left heaven to become like one of us. And then Jesus gave it all when He gave His life as a sacrifice for our sins. A servant will put others before themselves. They will relinquish their rights to serve others. And to do that, they must be willing to sacrifice. After saying the Messiah would be a servant of God, the prophet Isaiah revealed the Messiah would suffer many things and He would be a sacrifice for our sins. That familiar passage of Isaiah 53 uses such descriptions of Jesus as these: despised, rejected, sorrows, grief, smitten, afflicted, wounded, bruised, chastised, and cut off. And in it all, He makes it clear He would endure all of that for us. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. By His stripes, we are healed. He will justify many, and He will bear the sins of many. Having a servant's heart is paying the price to achieve God's plans and purposes. You see, even though He could have called 10,000 angels, He had already surrendered to His Father's will over His own will. He had made the sacrifice for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, and you know 100 other depictions of that. Jesus made this idea of sacrifice clear when He said, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must do two things." What were they? Deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. In His book, God's Outrageous Claims, good Bible study sometime for your group, Lee Strobel, he's the one who wrote The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel shares this story. Bob Pierce had advanced leukemia, but he went to visit a colleague in Indonesia before he died. As they were walking through a small village, they came upon a young girl lying on a bamboo mat next to a river. She was dying of cancer and only had a short time to live. Bob was indignant, and he demanded to know why she wasn't in a clinic. His friend explained she was from the jungle, and she wished to spend her last days next to the river, where it was cool and familiar. As Bob gazed at her, he felt such compassion. He got on his knees in the mud, took her hand, and began stroking it. And although she didn't understand him, he prayed for her. After he finished praying, she looked up and said something. Bob asked his friend, "What did she say?" His friend said, "She said, 'If I could only sleep again. If I could only sleep again.'" It seemed her pain was now too great to allow her the relief of rest. Bob began to weep, and then he reached into his pocket, took out his own prescription of sleeping pills, the ones the doctor had given him because the pain from his leukemia was too great for him to sleep too. He handed the bottle to his friend and said, "You make sure this young lady gets a good night's sleep as long as these pills last." Bob was 10 days away from where he could get his prescription refilled. That meant 10 painful and restless nights for him. But it meant a few night's rest for a little girl with cancer. That day, his servanthood cost him greatly. But in the midst of his suffering and his sacrifice, God had infused a supernatural sense of satisfaction that he had done the right thing. A servant's heart, humble, obedient, sacrificial. But in the end, there's a reward waiting. That fourth thing I want you to see is the reward of a servant's heart. And the reward of a servant's heart is this: God, not man, God will exalt us. Better than winning the Oscars, the Grammys, or Dove Awards, better than raises or promotions or partnerships, better than money and healing and the applause of men, better than anything this world can give, better than the people's choice, is to know you are God's choice. When we develop a servant's heart, God exalts us. The Apostle James says in James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Even if this life you miss all the applause and accolades of men, you will be more elated when you hear Jesus say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I close with Ephesians 6:6 from the Message. In the Message, that verse reads, don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you are really serving God. Do you have a servant's heart? Humble, obedient, sacrificial, following His example, not just His commands, His examples. Well, you can have, but it begins with giving your heart to the Lord, giving it to Him in repentance of sin, knowing that it was your sin that put Him on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins, not His. He who had no sin. With a repentant heart of those sins, to surrender to Him as Jesus surrendered His will to the Father's will and went to the cross, He asks us to surrender our will to His and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. And He gives you a bonus here, His Holy Spirit to live with you, to guide you, and, yeah, to speak to you. And then to rise from that watery grave of baptism and live a new life. One that goes against about everything we've been taught. One that will conflict sometimes with your personal desires and your self-centeredness that we all have. And maybe one that will cost you. But one that will be so filled with purpose and meaning, and above all, that will lead you to the throne to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be a servant to all. Father God, this morning we thank You to know that in the person of Jesus, You came into this world and took upon Yourself not only the appearance of a man, but the nature of a servant. And being found that way here in this world, we got to watch you. And you set the example for us. You didn't teach a class about it. You didn't have some PowerPoint to illustrate what you wanted to say. You just lived it day in and day out. And you told us time and time again, I've set you the example. Now you go and do likewise. Father, I love serving with this church because this is a church with a servant's heart. We are so quick to come to the side of, to protect the back if necessary of one another, all because we know what it is to be loved by you and served by you through Christ on the cross. We know you did that for us when we couldn't do it for ourselves. And we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, and we know he walks with us every day. We know that you walk with us and talk with us along life's narrow way. But Father, if there is one this morning who just doesn't quite have their life wrapped around yours, who's still caught up in the ways of the world, help us to come in surrender and in obedience. And to take upon ourselves a servant's heart. In Jesus' name, amen.